The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, SiriusXM Channel 158. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland.
Hello.
Alongside Drew Dinsick, still coming, tennis, NBA, a little later on. Carl Sack on the NBA. Looking forward to that. And we will talk about the Spurs and the OKC Thunder, most points, most threes. We'll get into all that, where those markets land at this point. We got tweets beating the book. Nemesis Enforcer. Full-size Emma Navarro. LMFAO, he says. Ozempic sponsorship in her future. I'm not making a comment. She's playing great tennis. That's all I care about. Steve the Proxy. Funny how things work out. This is a great point. Knicks wanted Mitchell in 2022 and had to pivot to Brunson. By game two, you could see in Mitchell's eyes he didn't believe they could win. Harden was a traffic cone all series. As a Knicks and VGK fan, this will be the best June ever. Hashtag LFG. A lot of Fs in these tweets, by the way.
Absolutely right.
Steve, that's such a great point, though, about how the fates work out in a way, right? The Knicks absolutely wanted Donovan Mitchell. They end up with Brunson. The Knicks fan base is so underwhelmed, so nonplussed, and I'm being kind, by the signing of Jalen Brunson. He's only the highest postseason scorer since in the NBA. There's so many of those, right? We talk about the Dante Culpepper, Drew Brees thing, right?
Oh,
in the NFL.
Yeah, that was wild. Did you catch Mitchell taking pictures, or he got caught taking a picture with a Knicks fan before the game.
Oh no!
Yeah, when he's cruising into the arena,
caught taking a picture.
Yeah, someone took a selfie with him in a full Knicks gear.
Oh, okay. Danny Road, I've got the Knicks and the Knights every which way possible. Best ways to monetize !! You think you meant an exclamation point or a question mark?
I probably meant a question mark.
I would just say this, Danny. You know the Knicks are going to be a dog no matter who they play. So you're going to have to get creative with that. And the Knights don't do a thing at this point. Wait to see how the cookie crumbles for their finals. So nothing really to do right at this moment. Martin Bernstein points out the Islanders won four cups in approximately 12 years of existence. Of course, they can't say that now, can they? But the Knicks versus Spurs, 250-1. He has Knicks-Spurs matchup at 250-1. Is that true?
Dang. When'd you bet that?
He said, should I bet OKC minus 1.5 games plus 210.
No.
Well, no, you shouldn't, because what if OKC wins by one? 4-3. You don't want to do that. Paulie 68, Vegas were strategically set up success by highly favorable expansion draft rules. That's absolutely correct, Paulie. And GM McPhee's aggressive maneuvering. Yes, both are correct. Teams weren't able to protect as many players and gave Vegas extra picks, prospects, or players, so Vegas wouldn't select guys on their teams. Paulie, it's 100% right. And they have since altered the draft rules a bit, right, so as not to duplicate that success of the Vegas Golden Knights. Listen, that's all true. And that perhaps ratchets up the resentment of other fan bases as well. Let's talk some baseball. Mark Borchardt joins us now. He's Base Winner from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert. You can follow him at Base Winner on Twitter, basewinner.com. And, of course, the BetUS Baseball Betting Show. You can learn all about it on his Twitter feed as well. He joins us now. How you doing, Mark?
Yo, I'm doing good, man. I'm happy to be here at 8. I thought, well, you know, you're either going to have the Pope or the President on, but it's even better than that. It's Drew Dinsing. And, you know, I got to say something. I love Drew. I got to say something. He's got the lowest base on all the radio dial. In fact, he was on a show on Sunday, and like the base was so low. And I compared it to the, you know, the classic Rewind guys, you know, the, hey, we got a rock block of Dire Straits here coming up, and they're always really low. Dinsick was lower than him on the base level. So props to him, right?
Mark Borchardt, everybody.
Audio breakdown.
Mark Borchardt.
There you go.
By the way, if you want to know more about the comedy stylings of Mark Borchardt, tune into next year's MLB Futures Draft, where Mark tries to take shots at other people in the draft, and they look at him with a blank face. Mark, I thought you were great in that draft, and the audience was terrible.
You know, speaking of that, Jensen, and who I want to call Brady because he sounds like Brady Cannon. I don't know if you interviewed Brady a bunch of times. Check it out next time. But, you know, and I know this is going to hit a bad nerve for you, but Cleveland in the division market, I've got them over 90% of the time, and they're only to win that division minus 190. I mean, it's crazy.
Wow, what do you have them at? 90-some percent?
I've got them like at 94% of the time. So like I went in, I'm like, what's going on with this stuff? And so like Cleveland's starting pitching, 15. Their relief pitching, 5. Their fielding's number 1. And their offense is 18. And you're thinking, well, that's not that great of a team. They shouldn't be 94%. But you're looking at like the next best team is the next closest team is the White Sox. The White Sox, they're all like lower 20s from all the rankings that I have. And then I think the best team, the next closest team are the Royals. And they're like 9 games back. And they're not that great. Like 12 starting pitching, 30th in relief, 18 fielding, and then 14 in offense. So I think that's a really good opportunity to because it surprised me. So if it's surprising me, it's going to surprise a lot of people. And I think that -190 is a good way to lay the sauce, Gil.
Lay the sauce. Borchardt coming out firing. I understand what you're saying too, and I'm an under season win total guy in the Guardians, as you point out, but that really is a commentary on the rest of the division more than anything. White Sox, Twins, Royals, and Tigers. Listen, if the Guardians have a swoon here in them, and I think they do, you're looking at a division. I've been talking about the American League West, where the Athletics lead the West with a 27-27 record. You could have 2 divisions in the AL, potentially, that are just flirting with the historic nobody's going to be above 500 kind of thing. Like, that's how bad the American League is. And again, famously, 1994, when the strike hit, the Rangers would have won the AL West 10 games under 500. That's sort of one of the lost, you know, anomalies of that season. But that's an interesting comment. So Cleveland -190 representing great value per Mark's numbers. Can I ask you about something we did here on the show yesterday, Mark, before we get to your picks? We did an NL Cy Young blind resume thing. And this is just, I mean, what a race between Christopher Sanchez and Jacob Mizorowski. Kyle Harrison is in there as well. Paul Skeen, Shohei Ohtani, Chris Sale, Chase Burns, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, on and on. Zach Wheeler also, who's, I believe, a sub-2 ERA, if I'm not mistaken, as well. So all of these guys, this is an incredible race. And we did the blind resume. And for me, this was before Miz Urowski's performance yesterday when he was +450. I was like, Miz would get my vote. I think that's the bet at +450. Now he's +370. Who would get your vote at this point?
Well, if he continues to do what he's done, it would be Mizorowski. I was looking at some numbers yesterday, and his stuff plus was a 132 raw, which was like 7 numbers higher. And I've never seen it like that. I mean, I can't really tell you exactly, you know, the scale of Eno Saris's ratings, but I can tell you that I've never seen a guy that dominant as compared to the next guy in that stuff plus. And boy, he sure showed it yesterday. And then if there's ever like something about Mizorowski, he's like, well, his control, his location, his command's not the greatest. The location plus number was in the 80th percentile as well. So I think that definitely I would be with you on that with Mizorowski, Gil.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the greatest K rates in MLB history. Minimum 162 innings pitched. I think I'm seeing this correctly. So Shane Bieber, that was 2020. I don't think he had enough innings pitched, so that doesn't count. But 2019 was Gerrit Cole, 39.7%. Am I seeing that right? That would be the record, if I'm seeing that correctly. So Mizorowski, 40.3%. I mean, this is, I know it's May, but good God. I mean, this, what this guy's doing is incredible. So you would say the Miz also at this point.
Well, for sure. And then if you look, like, it's, sometimes it's like there's really no luck involved in that. Like, the stuff, like, is right, that much better than the rest of the league, Gil. And, like, there's some good pitchers in the league. And you just see, I mean, he's throwing 100 miles an hour all the time, seems like. So, anyway, yeah, no, I agree with you. I think that's a good call.
All right. By the way, just checking out Gerrit Cole's strikeout percentage that year. Yeah, 2019. 39.9% with a 20-5 record. Wow, you forget how dominant he was that year. Okay, what did you land on today in Major League Baseball, Mark?
Well, I'm going to go with the Cubs here. And I think just from a modeling standpoint, I've got the Cubs as a slight favorite. They're in the market at like +115. Maybe you can get it. But one of the interesting things is of all the teams, the OPS at the venue, the away team, the highest away team OPS at this particular venue, PNC Park, Gil, is 967. That goes to the Cubs. And so, like, you have that. That's really not into the daily modeling, but you have that going for you as an ancillary idea. You know, and it's really wild because you talk about a division that's crazy for, you know, from my standpoint, at least, it's this NL Central.
Yeah.
And the Pirates have beaten the Cubs. They've played four times. They beat them three times. I think the Cubs are a better team overall. No, I think this is a good opportunity to back them as a slight dog, Gil.
Cubs plus 116 today at PNC against the Pirates. Cubs not having a good month of May, but we were just talking about the AL Central and the AL West. Good God, is anybody going to be over 500 right now? It's only the Guardians that are over 500 in both of those two divisions. The NL Central, everybody's over 500, including the last place Pirates at 28-26. No parlay from Mark Borcher today?
I do have a parlay. I've got the Brewers. We talked about the Brewers and the Yankees. And I could go into the numbers for Schlittler, but I think what's more interesting is Harrison's numbers, at least for me. Kyle Harrison, who was just like a middle journeyman in San Francisco, and yes, he's made it all the way to the top of the base winner board, number seven on my base winner starting rating. So you got that going for you. Two better teams, and I think it's a good opportunity. Risk one to win 1.4, Gil.
Who is it? Brewers and who is it?
Brewers and Yankees.
Okay. Yeah, the Kyle Harrison thing, I alluded to it yesterday when we were doing the blind resume. It just shows you with baseball, man. You know, a prospect is a prospect, and we have such, as a collective baseball, you know, group, whether it's the establishment itself or people who are fans or bettors, we have such little patience, right? And sometimes it just takes a few years. Not that everything's sustainable with Harrison, by the way, because some is, but like you said, mediocre with the Giants, 12 innings with the Red Sox, and the Brewers are like, thank you very much. We'll take them. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it.
My pleasure, Gil.
Mark Borchardt, everybody, at base winner. OKC, San Antonio, props next on A Numbers Game. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSIN Pro.
A Numbers Game on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Back on A Numbers Game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Don't forget about our VSIN Pro discounted annual subscription. 14 months for free, except for the fact that if you use promo code, it's not 14 months for free. 14 months at the discount, I should say. Regular, actual retail value, $240. Use promo code PRO, it's $199. Daily best bets from VSiN experts, real-time betting splits, AI-powered props and matchup tools, 24/7 live video and full show replays. All of our betting guides, expertly authored by Adam Burke, Zach Cohen and company. Matt Eumann's in there as well. VSiN.com/subscribe. Again, promo code PRO, 14 months, $199. Do it. We get tweets beating the book. The numbers, guys. How many out there are Googling Emma Navarro right now? One question: clear or the cream? She's probably not litigious. He says she's probably not litigious. Says, let's see.
Oh man, I haven't heard the clear or the cream in a while, man.
She's probably not litigious. Vegas Vice. With all due respect, Gil, the Seattle Kraken had exactly the same rules for their expansion draft as the Vegas Golden Knights. Kraken results have been way inferior because George McPhee of VGK fleeced other GMs who wanted to protect certain players, and VGK capitalized on that. That is true, except for a couple things. One, Golden Knights then were exempt when the Kraken had their draft, right? Ensuring that the rest of the league remained at a flat 30-team pool. And then the side deals part, which we alluded to earlier, right? During Vegas' draft in 2017, many GMs made panicked sort of side deals with the Golden Knights, right, to steer them away from exposing certain players. By the time the Kraken drafted, they were hip to that, right? Front offices had learned from those past mistakes and were generally more guarded. But you're right, same rules. It's just that the league wasn't hip to what was going on. They weren't that smart. By the way, I attended, courtesy of Todd Wright, I attended the expansion draft here. Everybody was there. Like, every NHL luminary you can imagine was there.
Huh.
I think Lemieux was there. I want to say Gretzky was there. I mean, everybody. They put out all the stops for the Vegas Golden Knights expansion draft. And what a franchise, man. I'm not hating. I'm just telling you, we were just talking about how other fan incredible. Base is hating. It's yeah. incredible.
It's incredible. I'm a person that moved out here from South Florida before the Panthers started to get good too, right, consistently. And like Gil and I used to talk about this stuff 8 years ago, but it would be like I first moved out here and I'd go into a bar and be like, hey, like a Wednesday night, can you turn on this NBA game? Like 70 people looking at me like, no, not at all. The Golden Knights are on right now. They're playing the Kraken. We have to watch this.
I am _ John W. Donovan Mitchell is Zach LaVine with a good PR team.
Okay. Agree to disagree.
We're going LaVine, right? Not LaVine.
LaVine, yes.
Torch D, the one who put the satin in your panties. I also love Drew's voice. It sounds like syrup slowly getting poured over warm pancakes, not maple syrup.
That's right.
Here we go with that.
Yeah, that hasn't stopped.
All right, let's do a couple of
Chance at Buddhist, man. They've been on one with that.
How are we doing on these men's matches? Up 2-1 with Buruchaga. And up 2-1, but down a break with Kopriva.
You're like, Danny, over under 2.5 more times, he says, Buruchaga.
First of all, it's Buruchaga.
Buruchaga. Yeah, I've never
roll your R's.
Never been able to do that. Lived in Venezuela, still couldn't do it.
Really?
Yep.
Can't roll your R's?
No.
Can you do a Semitic? Can you do that?
I can do that.
Ahmed. Okay.
You can do that one.
To the NBA Finals, ladies and gentlemen. MVP. Oh, okay. Let's do this first, right? This is odds to win the NBA Finals MVP. So the Knicks taking on either the Thunder or Spurs. We do not know. But right now with either the Spurs or Thunder are going to be favorites in that series. So you see at the top of this, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander +120. But interestingly, there are three Knicks in the top five because the Spurs and the Thunder are so weighted heavily to their two big stars, right? So Shai is +120 in this market. Jalen Brunson is +260, the Brunson burner. There's Wembanyama at 3-1. Of course, that will crash if the Spurs end up beating the Thunder. And then it's Kat and OG Anunoby, 13-1 and 30-1 respectively. And then you get into the rest. So that is really just about the construction of, you know, the Thunder go through Shai, the Spurs go through Wembanyama, the Knicks. It's kind of just like the ultimate team, one would say, from a positive spin. The negative spin would be like, yeah, I mean, who's really their guy? It's gotten to the NBA Finals, though. Would you bet any of this right now, not knowing the result of OKC or the Spurs? Would you want to get ahead of it?
Well, if you're really damn confident, right, in the Thunder or Spurs side,
you'd play it that way.
I think you could make a case, but you are like, apologies ahead of time. This is not going to be Spurs, Thunder, whoever emerges from that side of this is not going to be a fun conversation because I think, I don't know where you fall, Gil, but I think it's complete nonsense if we're talking about somebody else being the Finals MVP from the Thunder or Spurs that's not SGA or Victor Wembanyama.
That's right. It would take a remarkable Andre Iguodala kind of path for something like that.
I think
that.
It would take an injury.
Yeah, it would take a specific path that is very unlikely. Now, injury being one of them, by the way.
Yeah. The Knicks are, it's interesting. I don't know, though, there's any rush to make a Knicks bet right now, right? Like, you wouldn't think these numbers are going to move much on them.
But the Knicks really could be anybody. It really could be. I mean,
it could, man.
Jalen Brunson, Cap. I mean, by the way, not pictured Mikal Bridges. Not pictured at all on the screen.
I mean, we've seen OG. I mean, we've seen it this playoffs with OG Anunoby. And I don't know. Mikal Bridges, I guess, would be like the one guy I wouldn't consider.
I would.
If you would have told me you'd take a Josh Hart 90-1 ticket.
Well, first of all, I don't think the Knicks are winning. So that's the first thing.
Right.
But if you were to come to me from the future and say they did, I would absolutely consider. I'd be like, oh, then I don't know who did it.
Well, I also think that also checks out for me, though, right? If you told me the Knicks are winning this series, it can't be just Jalen Brunson having a huge series.
Oh, no chance. It would probably be Kat.
Probably is.
Kat just raining threes.
Probably is.
Yeah. But again, but if you told me it was Josh Hart or Mikal Bridges, I wouldn't be that surprised.
Now,
by the way, hypothetical series prices before you start there, pretty exact. The Thunder would be a tick of a favorite more against the Knicks and the Spurs. But we're talking -280 versus the Knicks versus -270 for the Spurs, with the Knicks commensurate 10 cents more on the comeback against the Thunder than they would be against the Spurs, but almost identical.
Yeah.
With the series knotted up at two games apiece between the Thunder and Spurs.
Very interested to hear what Drew has these lined at for both, because I know he was pretty heavy Thunder over Spurs. So I wonder if he just has that big of a difference in these two. Gil, this is getting tough, man. I started to think like 2 games ago. I was like, you know what? Like Knicks plus 2.5 games or something might be kind of interesting in the finals. I think they might be able to take one or two. I think this is going to get down into a range where I'm probably going to end up betting Thunder or Spurs. I don't know that it matters which one to me.
Well, here's the question. You think this gets lower by June 3rd?
That's a great question. I have no idea. No idea which way this moves. Because I think you are going to have a bit of a push and pull, right? Where I think you're going to have some of the casuals that have been watching the Knicks and just the Knicks fan base, right? Being right. So massive, wanting to bet them at over 2-1.
Bet them.
But then I think you're going to have a lot of sharp bettors and NBA guys be like, this is absurd. I can lay minus 260 with the Thunder or
if
whatever.
If either the Thunder or Spurs win games 5 and 6, in other words, they win this Western Conference Finals with a flourish, God, would it really go down? I don't, even despite all that, what you're saying, which is absolutely true, right?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
But if it goes 7, I could see what you're saying being correct.
And the other thing is, like, it's almost impossible, I think, to say whether this is fair or not right now just because of the injuries.
We don't know about J-Dub. We don't know about A.J. Mitchell. Darren Fox and Harper, yeah. Dylan Harper, are playing through the injuries.
I mean, for sure, if you're interested in Thunder or Spurs, like I probably am for the NBA Finals, there's no reason to bet this right now.
Right now. Thunder Knicks, what's the final series tally? What's the Thunder win and how many?
Thunder in 6.
You think that goes 6? I do not.
I'll throw it out.
Spurs Knicks.
No, you know what? I'll go Thunder in 5, Spurs in 6.
Thunder in 4, Spurs in 5. I don't think the Thunder lose in any scenario to this team.
I'm interested to see what the what the 5.5. Zach and I were talking about that at Hardwood Handicappers. What the over price is on 5.5 games. I might end up betting that. But this goes back to what we said earlier, though. The Knicks don't want to stop playing basketball right now.
This is a massive break, right? This is 9 days.
Mm-hmm. It's a huge break.
Between yesterday and June 3rd, it's 9 total days.
For a team that has been playing pretty much every other day for a month straight and has won 11 games and covered 10 times, it has the biggest point differential in the history of the NBA.
Yeah. Now, it'll still be a little bit of a break for the other team, but we're just talking 3 or 4 days if it goes 7. I think this is one of the Knicks just want to keep playing basketball. Yeah. This is that's how it is though in the NBA. The NBA Finals is always locked in for a start date.
I am fascinated to see where this moves.
We'll do some of the props later on. Drew Dinsick joins us next. See if he has any tennis left today. His thoughts on the NBA Conference Finals next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game. Don't forget about sharpplays.com. Unmatched transparency with records updated daily. AI betting analysis, real-time global betting info, and alerts directly from the pros. Scan the QR code for more. Sharpplays.com. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin here on a numbers game. Drew Dinsick joins us now. Drew's sort of a moving target these days on a Tuesday, but we love having Drew in, regardless of when he's able to join us.
Yeah.
And he's here now, the co-host of The Deep Dive with Drew Dinsick and Andy Molitor, and of course, NBC Sports' Bet the Edge, which he does with Jay Croucher. Drew can be found on Twitter at @whale_capper. You can find him now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Drewski, what's happening?
Oh, nothing bad, man, unless you're Daniel Medvedev.
Yeah.
In that case, everything went bad this morning. What did he lose? Is a -1,000 favorite?
Unbelievable.
Hopefully that's the only big favorite to go down today, if you're catching my drift.
Oh, well, let's try to catch it. We don't have to catch your drift. You can tell us. What is your drift on these today?
Well, yeah, I'm hopeful that Sinner comes through unscathed. Yes. Conditions are not great out there, man. It's hot.
It is
See
hot.
What happened to Rude yesterday? It's very, very, very weird weather for Paris in May. It's usually like we're trying to dodge the, you know, we're usually it's like stick and move, trying to dodge the rain and get these matches in.
That's right.
But yeah, they're having, you know, blast of heat here in late May, which is a little unusual and making things tough.
It may, you know, there's no, I don't know. I had a couple bets yesterday on two women who were short favorites who just looked terrible. And I really do wonder, right? I was like, was the heat just too much for them? You're so right about French Opens past. I remember, I don't know what year it was. Once it was 2018 or 2019, one of those years where the matches were just so backed up. That's usually, you're absolutely right, what the case is. But this is a whole different thing. Do you have any matches left today that haven't started yet?
I have the over in Altmaier, Felix Auger, Al Yassim. That one I have sets over and I have games over. I think that's going to be 3-1 Felix, and games best price I got was 37.5. It's up a bit. I would take over 38.5 at -105 is a better bet than over 37.5 at -120. That's moved a little. But I'm expecting Felix to have a war in his hands. Altmaier can play. Not great. We're not going to win, but he can test him.
He can test him. Someone asked me earlier, because I've had a couple spread bets. Do I have a change in philosophy, or am I just taking, you know, games just sort of just coincidentally here in a couple of matches? Because I don't usually play spreads, but I think there's been a lot of those here in the early going of players who I think can play with them, but ultimately won't come through. And usually I'm just firing money lines. I don't know if that's how you viewed this any differently than anything else, but that's sort of how, like, Taylor Townsend didn't get there, but I had her plus the games this morning. And she fell apart in the second set as well.
Looked
good for a while. How's it been going for you the first couple days?
I mean, pretty well. I've avoided any true calamity. Cam Norrie went down. That was fun. Although I didn't win anything. Didn't win anything on that, but Scam Norrie gone. That's enjoyable. It's been a good start to the tournament so far. It's been a little bit slow. This kind of stretching out round one across 3 days has made it to where there's been like some pretty big swaths of time where there just hasn't been any good tennis on.
Yeah.
But that's about to change because you know, this is a pretty loaded field, and I'm pretty excited to see how things are going. I mentioned the rude heat. I don't even know what to call it really, but his heat fatigue issues yesterday. If you missed that, he was up 5-3, up 2-0 and up 5-3 in the third set, had two match points at 5-3, lost them both, and then proceeded to lose, six plus four. Yeah, he lost 10 straight games after blowing two match points, spent an extra hour and 15 minutes on court that he did not need to. Eventually his opponent Safalin got kind of the heat sickness and needed a medical timeout, and I feel like that break specifically saved Rude from ultimately going down in absolutely inglorious fashion. Considering how physical that was, and he only has the 1 day turnaround before he gets a really, really, really tough test against Medjovic tomorrow, I think he is on upset alert there. I know it's already moved quite a bit. Medjovic is down to like +192-ish. I was feeling like Casper Ruud was potentially going to be your bottom half finalist here and your third quarter winner. Played a good amount of him, 4-1 to win the third quarter, and now I'm kind of thinking it's probably over before it starts for him. I'm hopeful his team can get him recovered in time to get a win there. But speaking of spreads, I like that spread quite a lot for Medjovic. I think that's going to be a very close match.
Medjedovic tomorrow against Casper Ruud.
Medjedovic,
yeah. Anything catch your eye on the women's side, just observationally speaking?
I thought, like you mentioned, Townsend was a decent play today, and she had the early break, and ultimately Coco Gauff's return game is diabolical right now. It is so tough. And her serve was miserable in the first set, but then eventually she got a little bit of rhythm, started getting some more first serves in. So feeling pretty strong that Coco is your fourth quarter winner and will represent one of the spots in the semifinals. Sabalenka looked a lot sharper than I expected. I thought she was a little bit on, happy to be here, kind of focus on Wimbledon or the US Open or whatever. And because her clay season has been super uninspiring, but she was sharp as can be this morning. Ultimately, I would say that she probably comes through quarter one unscathed. Quarter four, Rybakina is clearly the player to beat. And then in quarter three, I mean, Iga looked amazing, but
she's lurking. You know, the Hamburglar is lurking.
She's lurking.
Yeah.
She's the Hamburglar's lurking.
Yeah.
And even more than the Hamburglar, like Marta Kostyuk, is she ever going to lose? Like she got that kind of a little bit of a tough draw where she, you know, the super early slot on day one. And sometimes, you know, the nerves will get you in a major, you know, where, you know, you're not quite ready to peak that early, but she was sharp as can be too. So quarter three on the women's side is going to be the must see TV for the next 2 weeks.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. To the NBA. Knicks, Eastern Conference representative. Drew, let me just say this in retrospect. Should we have all seen this coming? That in a weak East, the Knicks with the most continuity through the years and the shortest bench, if you will, when it comes to a postseason. Should we all have seen, I'm not to this degree, right? Not to this dominance, but should we all have seen this in the end, that they would be the Eastern Conference representative?
I don't know. The Celtics still have a chance, right?
I think so. Let me check.
Kelly Atkinson. Kelly, he'll tell you. Get a lot of good looks.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I don't know, man. Like this whole Knicks run confusing the bejesus out of me because my numbers on them have been static for like 3 years. Like I just didn't see an upside like we have seen from them in these playoffs. You know, a lot of people who follow basketball did see this and did call this, and I was not among them. I just thought this was like, you know, hey, this is a plus four team with a ceiling of plus five and a floor of plus three. And like, you kind of know what you're going to get. The way that they answered the call, every opportunity they had to eliminate their opponent was like, maybe there's another gear here. Like those closeout performances were something else from this Knicks team. And now they got the momentum. They got the belief. They don't know that they're not supposed to win against the Thunder and the Spurs. And one of those two teams that comes through that Western Conference Finals is going to be limping. So why not the Knicks, I guess? I don't know. I did not see this coming. I thought, and this is maybe a little bit kind of too, you know, behind the, you know, cloak and dagger stuff, but there was nonstop talk going to this time last year that the Knicks were going to make a move for Giannis because they thought they needed, that was like the piece that they needed to win in the East. And, I multiple times had Knicks to East queued. Little Birdie's telling me, this is imminent. This is happening. Here's the deal is agreed to in principle. Giannis is going to go into New York. And sure enough, it never happened. And yet they win anyway. So, it's impressive. Mike Brown, congratulations to him. I've always thought higher of him than the market in terms of his ability to coach. And the fact that he has these guys playing this well is pretty awesome. But I guess my general sense is the Knicks played no one. They played no one who had a dynamic offensive, a dynamic offensive pieces and an ability to put a point of attack defender on Jalen Brunson. The Hawks had one of those. They had a point of attack defense. They didn't have dynamic offense. Philly had neither of those, and the Cavs had no one to defend Brunson and. That changes in the finals, and I'm not going to be caught, you know, expecting too much of the Knicks. I congratulations. Happy for them to be here. Happy for Knicks fans that they get to see a finals again, but I'm going to be pretty out on them at some point in the finals. It may be after they win game one against whoever comes through this war. I'm not going to be fooled about the Knicks.
We'll talk Thunder Spurs here on the other side with Drew. What he has these hypothetical series prices as Thunder versus Knicks, Spurs versus Knicks, as we just talked about, they're almost identical, minus 280 on the Thunder, minus 270 on the Spurs as we sit here today. Sebastian Baez has walked off the court.
Oh, that crossed my screen.
Uruchago advances, but I don't get the money. Coming back on A Numbers Game.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on A Numbers Game, Gil Alexander, It's my little buddy Kelly Bidlin, everybody. Producer number 9. So much more than a producer.
Sup?
Kelly Bidlin on Twitter for those stalking Kelly. Justin D on Twitter, JDTurp23. Shout out to the turtle. Every mention of Buruchaga today puts the intro to Hooked on a Feeling in my head. LOL. Yeah, for those who missed it again, if you were a Beeson subscriber, you're following our plays, the walkover giveth and taketh away today. We were given a break on Uchijima on the lady side this morning, down a break in the third and final set. And then we were just a break taken away from us. I don't think that's how you say that. Buruchaga up, 2-1, up a break in the fourth, coasting. Baez walks off the court. So there you go. Again, check your house rules. Some are one set grade shops, but for those of us who have been here all these years, you know how we grade them just for record keeping purposes. They must complete. Shrek McPhee with one more question. He says, would you bet Sinner to win the French if he started every match down 2-0? No, I would not. We'll see if Drew would. Jason McKinney, I know Mason Miller is just a closer and we needed the others to be meh for the Cy Young, but his numbers are great as well. 52 K rate. It's ridiculous. 85% strand rate. Densely, analytically speaking, he should be up there in the talks. Jackson Merrill should have won NL Rookie of the Year, and your first round NFL pick a few years ago should have won. Yes, Jason, there's a bunch of should haves. I don't know why you threw those in there. 3Jack H, 3Jacques H, 3131. Gilly, I fully support Mark's vote for Miz as Cy Young. Grabbed him at 50-1 before the season started. Yeah, you do. Jesse Welch, hey, great news. We get an NBA award announcement today. I wonder who's going to win it.
Oh, my God, finally. Oh, that's forgot about that.
That's a great way to bring Drew back into it. Maybe some good news for Drewski. Drew Jensik joins us once again, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line at whale_capper. You think it's Missoula tonight?
I think it is. And I think it's warranted.
Perfect timing by the NBA. It.
Perfect timing.
Let Kenny Atkinson just dig himself into a hole and keep digging away after the past week. And then they're like, finally, it's good. Enough time has passed. We can announce Joe Mazzulla.
Yeah, but Atkinson was
I think
involved.
It's Mazzulla. Yeah.
No, I know. But he's embarrassing himself, taking away that from Mazzulla.
Why was there this delay for Coach of the Year? Why did they do it this way?
No idea.
Very odd. Very strange.
I never understand these.
Yeah. Makes no sense. Okay. Well, I hope you cash on your Joe Mazzulla there. Drew, hope that goes your way.
I forgot I had that. Honestly, it's not a very big stake. It's tough to get staked on these awards unless you know the right people and fighting for the same scraps with the same friends. So,
according to DraftKings,
staked great in NBA awards.
Yeah, according to DraftKings, Thunder -280 hypothetical versus the Knicks. Knicks +220 in that potential matchup. Spurs -270. Knicks +210. Almost the exact same number. How would you have these priced by your numbers, Drew?
I have both the Thunder and the Spurs in the -350 range. I would put the Thunder at like -400, Spurs at -350. So I'm more inclined to bet the favorites here. That said, the fatigue that is going to be expressed on whoever emerges from this war, I think is probably a good reason to be patient. I know that there is a huge gap before we actually start the finals, and they try to level things a bit. But the fact of the matter is, the Knicks are just a heck of a lot fresher than whichever of these teams kind of emerges. So, especially if it's the Spurs, I mean, the Spurs have played more basketball than the Thunder to this point in the playoffs, and if they can find a way through here, I would say that the Knicks have an advantage in Game One, and at that point, you're going to get a price on the Spurs in like the -120 range or something like that, which would be fun. So for me, it's going to be patience and try to my market entry as opposed to just fire because I have an advantage on the series price before it starts.
So you're more of a rest than rust guy when it comes to the Knicks, but that in general, you're more of a rest versus rust. You don't think this layoff hurts the Knicks?
I don't think so. They've had some pretty lengthy layoffs already and hasn't really affected them as far as I can tell you. I guess actually I take that back. I'm rewriting history here. Game one of the Eastern Conference Finals, they probably should have lost. And they won. So that was one where you trust the kind of long term numbers on what it means to be coming off of a 7-game series on the road. And You know, typically that's the, you know, that's the one of the spots of death. And still it was very lucky that the Knicks came through that one. So, yeah, I mean, I think again, like the key matchup for any of either of these two series is, can you put a point of attack defender on Jalen Brunson to truly disrupt his ability to, create, you know, kind of make that Knicks offense sing. And the Thunder very obviously have those pieces, like, you know, that you can, I think the world of Stephon Castle, as a defensive, kind of masterpiece, as, you know, to stop Brunson. But there's definitely a world where that's not quite as smooth of a defensive matchup as what it would be for the Thunder. So, as again, and also as a Thunder bag holder, I'm very hopeful that they are the team that comes through, but, they actually have the perfect piece, in my opinion, to, force the ball out of Brunson's hands and, you know, force the Knicks to try to develop offense with, you know, Cat and others. And while Cat has had, you know, some pretty glorious moments in these playoffs so far, he's been going up against much weaker competition. So I think in general, you know, Knicks are going to struggle to get into the hundreds in games against the Thunder. And that will, I think, open up the door for like a Thunder 4-1 type of you know, series win. And it may be as simple as they lose game one because the rest disadvantage and then win four. So I'm more excited about Thunder versus the Knicks than Spurs versus the Knicks just because of the defensive matchup. But yeah, either one for me, it's going to be the West versus the Knicks, in my opinion.
Yeah, two games against OKC this year. Knicks lost by 3 on March 4th, 103-100. They lose by 11 on March 29th, 111-100. Only played them twice, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. Spurs, Knicks beat them 2 out of 3 times. So that was definitely different results when it came to that matchup, including the NBA World Cup final. Who could forget? Revenge spot for the Spurs, again, if the finals occurs. About tonight's game, game 5, Spurs, Thunder. Thunder favored by only 4.5 or 5. We're seeing 4.5 consensus now. This is where I thought, Drew, this line would go after game 1 to game 2, but apparently I am not a subscriber to the zigzag theory and the unbelievable trends that exist in a game 2. So it didn't. It went the opposite way, if anything. But now it's at the 4.5 that I thought it would be in game 2. 217 the total. Any play here?
Yeah, I played 5.5 earlier with the Spurs, largely expecting that we were going to find out unfavorable news about Jalen Williams. AJ Mitchell remains out for the Thunder. Thunder are a little bit kind of handicapped right now in terms of their ability to generate offense. And I mean, game 3 and game 4 were very, very weird for different reasons. Obviously, it felt like the Spurs got wildly outcoached in game 3, made some terrible decisions in terms of rotation, really put themselves in a difficult spot against the depth of the Thunder. And kind of the bench was the entire difference. And then it feels to me like the kind of the commentary about the SGA flopping was like it reached an absolute crescendo after game 3. And you didn't even really have to handicap the game. You were just kind of like, well, I mean, if it's this loud, at some point, like the Thunder are going to get a very unfavorable whistle in this series. And what better spot than, you know, the Spurs at home down 2-1. So, you know, you kind of just conspiracy had it into the Spurs for game 4, thinking that, you know, the whistle was going to go in favor of the Thunder. And then, I mean, in the Spurs, and surely it did. And now with a neutral whistle, with a neutral series, I think the Thunder win, but that's too many points. The margin between these two teams is very clearly very thin. And as good as the Thunder are, the matchup is not good for them. And yeah, I think if you can take the points with the Spurs, cover yourself a bit, if you have exposure on the Thunder in the outright, which I do, then, you know, this is a pretty elegant way to try to swing for a middle shot, which is also a plus EV play, taking the points with the Spurs. So, a 3-point Thunder win, and, you know, really just like an exhale of, if the Thunder come through and they ultimately win the title here, it will be like, you know, I overstaked it. I knew I overstaked it. I never felt great about it as it was, you know, kind of unfolding. And yet you might still escape with the win here. But this is the last ride for me with the Thunder. I do not see them having the right pieces or the right kind of makeup to consistently beat the Spurs year in, year out.
Yep.
If they get past them this year, this is it.
This is it. What are your longest number? What is your longest number on the Thunder, if I might ask? Curious.
Ooh, I say like plus 180 probably.
I was going to say, how long could you really get?
I bet him from, yeah. I bet him in, or like around New Year's in the plus 180 range from memory. And then I got more sincerely involved after the Super Bowl at like plus 125. And then haven't come back in for any more. I'm doing okay in this series to cover, you know, myself if the Spurs ultimately come through, but it's still going to hurt.
Drew Dinsick, everybody. Always honest, always transparent. Appreciate it, Drew. Thank you so much.
Best luck, guys.
You too. Drew Dinsick, everybody, at whale_capper. Coming back on A Numbers Game.